Amen. Hallelujah. This is the serious. These are the serious people for God. I'm telling you. Ooh, glory to God. You better not step up here and ain't got nothing to say. These people hurt you. Hallelujah. Amen. Ed, I didn't dismiss you. Oh, there you go. Thank you. Hallelujah. Well, this mic is really nice. Hallelujah. I feel like I got life again. Amen. Picks up everything, though. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, hopefully you're ready for tonight. You have your Bibles handy? Yes. Open to Proverbs 18 with me, please. Proverbs 18, verse 21, our foundation scripture for this series. We're talking about the power of positive confession. Proverbs 18:21. Let's read that out loud together, please. It says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof." My goodness. If you don't have that highlighted in your Bible, please do so. Death and life, obviously there's a choice there, are in the power of the tongue. Your tongue has the power to choose. Your tongue has the power. God created you with the power to choose life and death. You're the only creature who has that power available to them, the power in the tongue. Every creature has a tongue, but they don't have the power. Everything that God has created and lives has some type of tongue within them, if it's a living organism. But when God created you, He created you so that you would be like Him. Therefore, He gave you the same ability to release power that He does. In the beginning, God opened His mouth and said, when He said, power was released. And it says here that you have the same type of power in your life, over your life. You have the power to choose life, or you have the power to choose death. With your mouth, you can bring blessings into your life. Or with your mouth, you can bring curses into your life. You can bring success, or you can bring struggles. Simply by the power of the tongue. Now understand, you don't have a choice in the matter. If you have a tongue, you got the power. And you are going to speak one or the other. It's not, well, I think I'll choose option three. No. When you speak, you're going to speak either life or death, blessings or curse, failure, success. You're going to speak those things into your life. Amen. This is a monumental revelation for you to understand this. This determines your life as a Christian. Your own tongue determines your life as a Christian. That's why when you stand before God, you won't be able to blame anybody. I mean, you can blame anybody you want here on the earth, but when you stand before God, don't even try it. Your tongue won't even begin to formulate for you to blame somebody else. You see, God, the only thing you're going to say, Jesus is Lord. That's all your tongue going to say, Jesus is Lord. When they start reading all the things you've done, all the stuff that you messed up on, you're going to say, Jesus is Lord. That's going to be the only thing you're going to be able to say. Because your tongue was made by him, and your tongue was made to produce him in your life. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Now, the revelation is life and death comes from the power that is in the tongue. Now, where does it come from? Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth is going to speak. So the tongue becomes really the instrument that is used to spread the life, the blessing, or death and the cursing. But it comes from the heart. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, your mouth will speak. So, if you fill your life with negative influences, if you're filling your life with negative people, negative friends, feeding on the news, feeding on all the bad news that's out there, if you're constantly being programmed through your feelings, how you feel, the way you feel, you're actually filling up your heart. If you feel bad every day, you're going to start to fill up your heart. I never feel good. I'm never going to feel, when am I ever going to feel better? You're going to start filling up your heart with that negative influence. And Jesus said, out of the abundance of your mouth, your heart's going to speak. And out of that, you're going to start to speak curses, and you're going to start to speak death into your life. Amen?
Amen.
But if you will fill your heart or fill your life with positive influences, if you will begin to fill your heart with what God says about you,
amen.
If you'll speak of the things that God says he wants in your life, if you'll hang around with people who think the same way, if you'll talk about the blessings of God, whether you have them or not, but you talk about them, talk about how good God is, talk about how much you love him, how much you know he'll take care of you, how much he loves you, how much his mercy protects you. You start filling yourself with positive things. Out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth's going to speak life into your life. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Your blessings are, guess how close they are to you. They're right there, 2 inches under your nose. Whatever you've been believing God for, it's right there. Hallelujah. You don't have to be seeking after, Lord, I'm just believing God. What is going to happen? What is going to happen? It's right there. 2 inches, maybe an inch, inch and a half for some of us. Right under our nose. The blessing of the Lord is right there. Now, look with me over to the book of Romans, chapter 10, and we'll get started today. Romans 10. It amazes me how people struggle, you know, all their life. Then they come to the Lord. And then other people teach them that you're supposed to struggle. Because that's what God wants you to do. Well, why am I here then? I mean, I can struggle all by myself. I don't need the Lord to struggle. It makes no sense. But yet, that's what people do. Why would God come and save you to keep you in a position whereas you have no recourse for changing your life? Jesus came, and he came, as the Bible tells us, as an ensample to us. He was our example. We're supposed to be able to follow him. We're supposed to be able to do what he did. Amen. Jesus said, as a matter of fact, because you're going to learn some things, you're going to do greater works than you see me do. Then I ask you a question. Did Jesus struggle? Somebody say yes. All right, we're going to pray for you. The only time Jesus struggled, the only time he struggled was in the garden. Yes. Amen. And the reason why he struggled was because he took on something that he had never, ever experienced before in his life. Amen. Something that was so foreign to him, so foreign to God, they had no idea of what it was. It was sin. That's foreign to God.
Amen.
Jesus put on flesh. He resisted sin the whole time. He walked in the flesh. But in the garden, all of a sudden, he now has to take on not sins he committed, but sins we committed. And the only time he struggled was whether I'm going to cross that line and take their sins or not. Because he had never, ever felt that. Never experienced it. But that's why he came and he said, Father, he finally just said, Father, not my will. I'm going to do this because if it's up to me, I wouldn't do it. But let your will be done.
Amen.
I'm doing it in obedience to you. That's how he overcame the flesh. I'll say that again.
Yeah.
Because some of you didn't catch it. He said, Father, as far as I was concerned, I wouldn't do it. But it's not my will, but thy will be done. The only way you're going to overcome the flesh is to walk in obedience to what God told you to do. You are no match for the flesh. Now y'all got me over here in the flesh. We are no match for the flesh. Jesus showed us that, told us that, taught us that. We're no match. But the way he overcame it was, Father, whatever you say, that's what I'm going to do. Amen. So in obedience to the Father, he was able to overcome the flesh.
Yes.
You're going to find yourself in situations where your flesh is going to pull you.
Amen.
You've been there. Somebody say, I was there last night, Pastor. Well, did you do like Jesus? And said, nevertheless, not my will, Father. Because if not, you're going to come back anyway.
Right.
Said, Father, forgive me, for I have sinned. You're going to be seeking out the forgiveness of the Lord. But if you want to overcome it, you're going to have to do it by doing the will of God. But that's the only time he struggled. With everything else, Jesus didn't struggle with anything in life. He didn't struggle with anything. And so the only thing you can struggle with from time to time is the temptation of things. But you should be not struggling with life. Look at your neighbor and say, I think he's right. You should not be struggling with life. So God doesn't want you to struggle with life because, so therefore, he has equipped you to be able to overcome things in life. Now, every human being has a tongue. Mm-hmm. Every human being has the ability to speak. But not everyone has the ability to speak life. And that's what we're going to talk about right now. Not everybody has the ability to speak life. They have the ability to speak, but not everyone is able to speak life to themselves. Did you find Romans? Romans chapter 10, verse 10. It says, for with the heart, man what? Man believes unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. This is a divine principle of confession. You write this down. A divine principle of confession. I'm going to read it one more time. It says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The principle is you believe with the heart, then you confess with the mouth. You believe with the heart, but you got to believe what's right. Amen. You believe with the heart what's right, which is righteousness, which is God's way of doing things. You believe in what God is doing in the heart, and then you confess with the mouth. Until what you are believing shows up. This is the divine principle. Believe with your heart and then confess with your mouth until what you've been believing for shows up. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, or until salvation shows up. Did you get that?
Yes.
Amen. For with the heart, man what? Believeth. So you got to be able to believe in your heart. Believing in your heart. Believe in your heart. That's what the scripture says. So there's a difference between believe in your heart and believe in your head. Not everybody is equipped to believe from the heart. Everybody's equipped to believe from the head. It's not hard to believe from the head. See, there's a difference. Well, how do I know, Pastor? How do I know when I'm believing from the heart and not believing from the head? How will I know? It's very simple. With the head, you always need physical evidence. When you're believing with your head, you got to see something. When you're believing with your head, something's got to show up. You want proof. You want to see it. I'll believe it when I see it. Amen. By his stripes, you're healed. Well, let me go to doctors and make sure. Let him check me out. Because I want to see. I want to see the x-ray. I want to see the report. I want to see the blood report. I want to see it. I want to see it. If you've got to see it, you are believing not with your heart. You're believing still with your head. See, with the heart, you don't need anything except the Word of God. There's nothing inside you. There's nothing inside you except the Word of God. When you believe in the heart, you are independent of any circumstances. You operate independent of anything on the outside. The way your body feels, the way your situation is, none of that moves you. Because you've already settled in your heart. I believe what God says, and since I believe what God says, it doesn't matter what I see, what I hear, what I feel. It doesn't matter what I'm going through. I know without a shadow of a doubt, if God said it, it's going to be done. That's how you know when you're believing from the heart. You're believing from the heart because nothing anybody can say can change the way you are believing. Or they can change how you feel. They can change, you know, your situation. They can even move you from one environment to another environment. But as long as you're standing with your heart firmly believing in God, it doesn't matter where they move you, how often they move you. It doesn't matter what you're confronted with, what's coming your way, because everything else is independent of what you are believing. You need no physical evidence. You need nothing. You're just stepping out and believing. God said, when that kind of belief is in your heart and it comes out of your mouth, it will produce. Come on, somebody. It will produce. Whatever it is you're believing for. Hallelujah. I think some people are getting set free already. For example, when you got born again, you made up your mind that you were going to believe God. I mean, all those years of you just acting the fool, doing your own thing. Come on now. I said acting the fool. I didn't call you a fool. All them years. But all of a sudden, something tugged at your heart. And you realize that there is a God. It didn't matter how many people were in the building, It didn't matter whether it was 2 or 2,000. It didn't matter. All of a sudden, you believed that there was a God, and you believed that he wanted you. Are you with me? At that moment, listen to me. At that moment, this is why this is so important. Could or did Satan stop you? No, he did not. Why didn't he stop you? I'll tell you why. Because he could not stop you. Amen. The reason why he could not stop you is because you, at that point, believed in your heart. Regardless of what was going on around you, you didn't need any more evidence. Something was happening on the inside of you. And it was so strong in there that when you opened your mouth and said, Lord Jesus, I'm asking you to come into my life. At that moment, you received what it was. You were believing. And the devil could do nothing to stop it. Why? Because what was in the heart being confessed with the mouth brought to pass the thing that you were believing for. Isn't that what happened to you? Isn't that how you got saved?
Yes.
If you're not sure, you better answer the call tonight. Or maybe you ain't saved tonight. I don't know. But the point is, if that worked then to change you from a sinner to a child of God, if it worked to take you out of darkness and to bring you into light, if it took you out of death and brought you into life, eternal life, just by you opening up your mouth and speaking, how much more then will things begin to happen if you turn around and focus your mouth on other things in your life? If it changed you, why can't it change your household? Why can't it change your financial situation? Why can't it change your health situation? Why can't it change other areas of your life? The answer is it will. If you haven't figured it out yet, it will. The question is, why aren't we doing it? Because we just didn't understand. And thank God we're here tonight. Amen. Now, when you don't believe or you don't confess the word of God, what you do is you cut off the power of God. This is important because if you let other people affect you, or if you let your own thinking affect you, you ain't got to confess all that. You ain't got to be confessing the word all the time. You ain't got to be saying that all the time. If you let that hinder you, what you're doing is you're cutting off the power of God. I just showed you where the power comes from, how the power gets from God to you. It comes from your heart to your mouth. You speak it. How's it get in your heart? Gets in your heart through the word. So God sends his word to come into your heart. From your heart, it comes to your mouth. from your mouth, you're supposed to confess it. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? Because it is the power of God. Power. Everybody say power. In other words, you want to see God's power. God has given you his power. It's in his word. When that word comes through your tongue, it produces power in your life. Hallelujah. This is not very popular amongst religious folks, because they want to constantly depend on the Lord. He's going to, if the Lord wants me to have it, he'll take care of it. Lord wants me to stop these cigarettes, he'll take them away from me. One of these days I'm going to stop drinking because God's going to take it away from me. One of these days I'm going to stop fornicating because God's going to take this desire out of my heart. Somebody lying to you. Hallelujah. No. God sent Jesus. He's not sending anymore. Jesus came that you might have eternal life. Listen to what he said. I come that you might have Zoe, God life, and I come that you might have life. What kind of life? This life, what? More abundantly. How? I'm going to teach you how to say and do and be what God created you to be. Amen. You have power. Just think about it. When Adam was born, when Adam was created, he was created by God. God, Jesus. He was created by the Lord and placed in the garden. And God said, I'm going to make this man just like us. He put him in the garden. Adam did not know he had all, well, I shouldn't say he didn't know. He probably didn't know. He had all of the ability that God had given to him. But God put him in the garden to make the whole earth like this garden. The whole earth. Amen. But in order to activate it, in order to get Adam activated, to get him going, what did God do? He said, Adam, you stay right here. Stand there, and I'm going to take every creature I've made, and I'm going to walk them by you. And then I want you to open your mouth, and I want you to call that creature. And whatever you say, that's what that creature is going to be. Power of God comes through what? Come on. Comes through the tongue. And yet, we waste so much time with our jive talking. We sure do. We got to come up with the latest slang. Whatever sounds cool. Whatever sounds hip. Because, you know, well, hip, you know, I just say hip. See, you date yourself when you begin to talk, you know. That jive talk and all that kind of stuff. Somebody said, what is that? But the whole point is, you're going to have to retrain yourself. You're going to have to begin to watch yourself and train your mouth. Train what you're saying. Train your heart. Like the psalmist said, Lord, put a guard over my mouth. Why? That I may not, what? Sin against thee. He didn't say put a guard over me, right. My hands. He said put a guard over my mouth. Why? Because it's out of the mouth comes that power. Are you with me today? Yes. Glory. Hallelujah. I sense some change in the atmosphere. Look with me over the book of Matthew real quick. Matthew chapter 13. Hallelujah. Matthew 13. Verse number 18. We praise the Lord. If you've heard this before, this is to bring back to your remembrance, because I know it has slipped. Look at your neighbor and said, I hope he's not talking about you right now. It's the word getting into the heart that fuels the power. It's the mouth releasing what's in the heart that will release the power. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Remember, it's the word that goes into the heart. That what? Fuels the power. But it's the mouth that begins to speak what's in the heart after it's been fueled that releases the power. If you don't have anything in your heart, when you speak, what's going to happen? Nothing. You don't have no power. Amen. Now look at this. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 18, are you there? Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catches away that which was sown in his what? In his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. Now catch hold of what this is saying. Jesus is saying, understand the parable of the sower. In a version where he preached, he said, if you can understand this, then you can understand the kingdom. Glory to God. Listen to what he said. He said, verse 19, when anybody hears the word of the kingdom, he's specific. What word is he talking about? The word of God. No other word is going to affect you this way. Watch this. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, or heareth the word of God, and understands it not. If they hear the word and don't understand what they hear, then Satan can come immediately and take away the word. If he takes away the word, he takes away the source. He takes away the fuel. He takes away the power source. He comes immediately. So just going to church and hearing a preacher preach doesn't qualify you. To receive the word and keep it. It says, whoever hears the word, and watch this, and they what? And they what?
Understand.
They understand it. If you understand it. In other words, if you understand it not, Satan can come. But if you do understand it, oh, talk to me, somebody. If you do understand it, then Satan cannot do anything. He can't take away the word. He can't take away the power. He can't take away the source. That's why teaching is so important. Preaching is good. Preaching will get you excited. I like to preach too. But I like to preach after you get some understanding. Then we all get excited together. Glory to God. But my job as a pastor is to feed you. Come on, church. Feed you with understanding. Why? Because the more you understand, the more that word sticks. And when that word sticks, even though it's there, Satan can't come and take it away. You may not have full manifestation when you first hear it.
Right.
But at least it's in seed form.
Yeah.
And if you have some understanding, he can't come along and just take it away from you.
Yeah.
If you understand that God is a healer,
yeah,
that he is Jehovah Rapha,
yeah,
and that he will heal.
Yeah.
Now listen, you may not understand how he does it. You may not even quite believe that he will do it. But if you understand that he is,
yeah,
oh, if you understand he is,
yeah,
at least Satan can't take that away from you.
Yeah.
You may not have full faith yet, but at least you got hope.
Yeah.
And if you keep coming and you keep hearing,
yeah,
and you keep hearing the word of God,
yeah,
faith is going to come by hearing, and faith is going to cause the hope, or it's going to add substance to the things that you've been hoping for. And whatsoever you're believing is going to begin to come to full fruition. Are you listening? Satan can't stand ministries like this.
Amen.
Can't stand it. Well, you got to come in and bring your Bible and bring a notepad and a pen. I ain't never heard of such. I thought you was just going to church. You let people know, I'm going to get some understanding.
Amen.
Shoot. Hey, I'm not just going to church. I'm going to get understanding. The Bible said, get wisdom. And with all you're getting, get
understanding.
Hallelujah. Because that wisdom is not going to do you any good without the understanding. Hallelujah. Everybody say, I understand.
I understand.
Look at Luke real quick. Luke chapter 10. Oh, glory. You getting anything out of this?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. I'm getting revved up with this. Hallelujah, that was the first lap. Just kidding. Luke chapter 10, verse number 41. Luke 10, 41. talking about the power of positive confession. In particular, tonight we're focusing on the power. Verse 41 says, "And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art what? Careful and troubled about many things." This is Martha. She was upset because her sister wouldn't help her. She had people over after church. She invited the man of God over, and she's running around trying to prepare everything, and her sister didn't help her. Her sister's sitting there listening to Jesus. She's getting upset, and Jesus is responding to her. Jesus said, "Martha, Martha, when God calls you twice, you know you bad. You know you upset." Amen. You know when your parents used to have to call you two times? You was off somewhere. You were doing something. But he said, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But," listen to this, verse 42. Please catch hold of this. "But one thing is needful." Underline that, please. You just got set free for the rest of your life. Amen. You are troubled about many things. Got a whole lot on your mind. Concerned about a whole lot of things. But Jesus said, there's only one thing that is needful. Glory to God. Just one thing. Lord, look at all y'all looking down trying to figure out what the one thing is. I tell you, you're supposed to be looking at me. Jesus said, one thing is needed. Just one. If you get this one thing, you'll be set up. You'll be set up for life. Aren't you glad you came tonight? Amen. One thing. I'm telling you, this is worth the price of admission. One thing. Martha, you're concerned about many things, but Mary has chosen the one thing that is needed. One thing. Everybody say one thing.
One thing.
Hallelujah. Watch this. And Mary has chosen that good part, which shall not, listen to this, here's your key, which shall not be taken away from her. What is the one thing that Mary got that Jesus was talking about? What was the one thing? I heard it already, but what was the one thing? Huh? How many of you said the word? How many of you said Jesus? Can't go wrong with Jesus. Jesus said one thing is needful, and she chose that part. Listen, she chose that part. And that part, because of that part, it cannot be taken away from her. What was he referring to? He was not talking about the word, because Satan can come along and take the word, but he cannot take away
understanding.
You see, once you get understanding, it's too late. You see, I can come along, I can take your Bible, or they can take your Bible away from you. They can take your word, but they can't take away your understanding. Are you listening to me? See, they can take away your physical Bible, but once you get understanding, what's in the Bible gets into your heart. And once it's in your heart, they can't take it away. It's too late. It's too late for the devil. It's too late. Many of you have had him riding roughshod over your life, over your family, over your household, over your finances, over your health, running, just tormenting you, pressuring you, oppressing you. But once you get understanding in your heart about what God's word says about every situation in your life, you'll turn around and start to open your mouth and speak what's in your heart. And you'll start shutting down areas of satanic oppression, satanic terrorism. You'll start tearing it. Oh, glory to God. You'll start tearing it down. You'll start breaking those things out and breaking them out of your life. And then you'll begin to speak to those things that are bringing them to naught. And then you'll begin to speak the things that are not and cause them to become. Why? Because you have what? Understanding. Amen. One thing Satan can't stand is an understanding Christian. He don't care if you go to church. Hey, he'll join you in church. But if you understand the word of God, he don't want to be nowhere near you. Hello? That's why the Bible said he left Jesus. He didn't show back up to the garden. So I ain't getting near him. He understands me. He understands the word too much. Everything I came at him with, he said, it is written. Everything, every time I tried to tempt him, he just came back with the word. He understood it. I even tried to trick him with the word, but he still understood what the word meant. I couldn't deceive him with the word. If you got understanding, if you have understanding of the word. You know, there are people, you know, they say, yeah, I read the Bible 32 times. And I'm just thinking, well, I don't say it, but, you know, I'm thinking. You're still just as dumb as you was when you started first time, because you ain't getting nothing. I mean, you know, because they said, I don't understand it. I read the Bible. Read it through. Genesis to Revelation. I don't understand it. The reason why they don't understand it is because they never received the gift that God gave them to understand. God said, I will give you men. Or no, I will give you pastors, I'm sorry, after my own heart. And they will give you understanding. People say, I don't need to go to church. Why do I need to go to church? I can read the Bible by myself. You can read it, sure. But you're not going to get what?
Understanding.
Understanding is going to change everything. Everything. Oh, my goodness. Everything. Am I talking? Is anybody with me right now? Everything. Everybody say everything.
Everything
is about to change.
It's about to change.
Everything,
everything
is about to change.
It's about to change.
Come on, say it one more time.
Everything is about to change.
Hallelujah. You just forced life into you by opening your mouth and speaking. Everything is about to change in your life. Hallelujah. It's all getting ready to change. Hallelujah. Glory. It's all getting ready to change. Glory. Let me add this. Have a seat. Let me add this. When you open your mouth, just like you just did, and speak, just like you just did, out of the abundance of your heart. The reason why you spoke that is because you've been sitting here, hearing the word, and receiving understanding. So that caused you to open your mouth. The third time you said it, you finally realized, hey, 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 something's getting ready to kick off here. Something's getting ready to happen up in here. And the moment, watch this, the moment you open your mouth, confess that and believe in your heart. The first time you just repeated it after me. Second time you said, where's he going? The third time you said, whoa. Something's getting ready to happen here. The reason why you felt that way is because when you begin to confess with your mouth the things that God has agreed or said in his word concerning you, what you do is you now license God to work on your behalf. When you speak the word of God out of your mouth, confess it, you license God to work on your behalf. When you speak positive things according to God's will, God's purpose in your life, you are giving him a free course, a license to work for you.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
When you don't confess, listen to me, it's very important. When you don't confess God's word and you speak things out, you are licensing the enemy, Satan, to go to work in your life. This is why it's so important that your confessions be positive. You don't wake up in the morning and say, oh, man, God. My back is killing me. You wake up, you open your mouth. Listen to me. You open your mouth. All heaven is waiting. Angels are waiting. He's up. She's up. Get ready. Get ready. Because when she gets ready to say something, we get ready to go to work. But when you say something like, my back is killing me, all that excitement goes, ugh. Then the angels, then the demons, they come along and say, move aside. He's calling me.
Wow. That's real.
He's calling for me. Folks, this is a law. Jesus said, and I'm going to have to end here, kind of. I said, kind of. He said, well, the word said, life and death are in the power of the tongue.
Yes.
Satan can't do anything to you unless he first hears you give him a license to. God made you a free moral agent just like him. He doesn't have a right to you or a right in your life unless he hears you say something that will license him to work. The sad part is you are so trained and conditioned by the world, which is his system, that you're always inviting him in. And you're wondering why you can't get ahead. You're wondering why you're struggling. You're wondering why things aren't working for you. But the moment you realize this, the moment you understand that this is not the way it has to be, this is not the way it's supposed to be, and you decide, I'm not going to give in anymore and let him have my mouth.
Amen.
Let him have my tongue. I'm going to begin to speak from my heart,
yes,
not
yes.
from my head.
Yes, yes, yes. Yes.
So when you wake up in the morning, you go, whoa, because you're still going to go, whoa. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I praise you. My back is healed. In Jesus' name. What did you just do? You did the same thing, but you didn't license Satan to work on your behalf. You licensed God. You licensed life. You brought that into your life. Amen? Y'all get anything out of this? Come on, give God praise tonight. Give him some praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, let's stand to our feet. We have glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm waiting for everybody to stand up. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. So when you hear Well, let's put it this way. When you're going to start to learn that when a problem comes, don't just look at the problem. Speak to the problem. Speak to the problem. Jesus told us, he said, whosoever shall believe in their heart and not doubt, if they have what's in their heart and will not doubt it, they can open their mouth and say unto this mountain. If you can move a mountain, you can move any problem out your life. Speak to any mountain and tell it to be moved and cast into the sea. And he said, whatsoever you, come on,
say.
Whatever you
say,
whatever you say, you're going to have whatsoever you say. That's why we got to get used to making our confessions. Are you with me? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Y'all ready to make a confession?
Yes.
Come on, let's do something about this.
Yes.
Let's do something about all of this stuff that's been bombarding you. Because
yes.
I think you got enough understanding today.
Yes.
Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Yeah. We got the right crew tonight. Got the serious crew.
Yes.
People that mean business.
Yes.
You see, you're the ones that the devil's afraid of. You see, he's not afraid of just those people who go to church on Sunday. He said, because them ones that go in midweek, they serious. Stay away from them. Because that hurts you. Amen. Hallelujah. This is why Satan hates you so much. This is why he's afraid of you at the same time. Because of what you're about to do. All the years he spent. All the time he spent. All the resources he spent. Just think of all the people in your life that he sent to you to try and get you under the condition you're in right now. He did all of that. He put barriers up. He had people speak negatively into your life. He had people tell you you couldn't do or you couldn't have or there's no way you could be the top. No way you could be the best. No way you could be somebody. Spend all that money, all that resource to try and stop you. And guess what? In the next few seconds, you can bring all of that. You can bring it all down. Hallelujah. What? One more. God told Joshua, said, I'm going to give you Jericho. He said, Joshua, when you go, I want your people to walk around the city every day. But don't say a word. Walk around there 7 days. On the seventh day, I want you to walk around seven times. Go around the city seven times. On the seventh time, blow the trumpet. Watch this. And then I want y'all to shout. What was God doing? First of all, he was getting all the naysayers together. Getting all the negative people out of the way. Because I can imagine about day two, day three, this don't make no sense. They talking all kind of unbelief, all kind of negative. But on that seventh day, when they rose up, they said, this is the day. They had a sense of expectancy. They was ready. They marched around seven times. Joshua said, I'll tell you when. But when God said, when they went around that seventh time, and they all let out the shout, the walls of Jericho came down. Why? Why? Because the power of God, glory to God, was in there. Church, your financial wall problems are coming down. Your wall of sickness is coming down. Your wall of depression is coming down. Your wall, hallelujah, of hurt and pain is coming down. It's coming down. Down. Say glory to God.
Glory to God.
My God.
My God.
Lives big.
In me.
Greater.
Is he.
That is in me.
Than he.
That is in the world.
Now.
Because my Lord.
Lives big in me.
I speak.
To every situation.
In my life.
I speak to sickness.
I speak to hurt.
I speak to pain.
I speak to poverty.
I speak to lack.
I speak to every financial problem.
I speak to every hurt.
I speak to all the depression, oppression.
Go ahead.
I call you.
Go ahead.
I call you to nothing.
Now.
I speak
life
into my house,
into my life,
into my body,
into my finances.
Today,
this day,
I will speak
the word of God.
Speak
the word of understanding.
From now on,
I will speak life
into my life.
I will speak blessings
into my life.
Today,
this day,
is the beginning
of the glory
of God
in my life.
Hallelujah.
Glory. It's coming out. The glory is going to come out. The glory is going to show up. Now, you don't say it just one time. You keep on saying it. You keep on confessing it. You just started today. But what you have said and what you continue to say, speak positively. And the power that is in you. I'm talking about the glory. But the power that is in you is going to be manifested in your life. How many of you glad you came tonight? Hallelujah. Glory. Glory. Hallelujah. Man, I'm glad I came. Man, I'm so glad I came. I got blessed too. Amen. Hallelujah. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If you're here tonight and you want to have an opportunity to build your relationship with the Lord. Maybe you don't have a relationship and you desire to have one. I would like to pray for you and pray on your behalf and ask God to come into your life tonight, and he shall. He'll come into your life, and then he'll begin to change you, and you'll see how your life begins to change all around you. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you would like to be included in the prayer,